Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate The Force Awakens. I still keep forgetting it. One minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Zach Kuntz from the Arlnauts.
Craven Morehouse, also from Arlnauts.
Welcome back, guys.
Thank you so much.
Glad you could return today. We are talking about Minute 7 of The Force Awakens. Minute 7 starts off with FN-2187 continuing his panic while they're attacking the villagers, and it ends with Lor Santeca telling Kylo Ren that something far worse has happened to blank.
Is Lor Santeca a Beastie Boys song that I can't think of?
I couldn't think of it either. I don't think so. Okay. I think it's just because his initials are LST. It's a reference to Lost, but
that could be
overthinking it. But yeah, we have to overthink it because we're here for six months.
It's implied in our
once you get ill communication as a character, the door is open.
All bets are off at that point.
Yeah, so Kylo Ren's shuttle shows up, and now we busted. We made fun of the prequels quite a lot because there's maybe like 8,000 shots of ships landing and taking off throughout the movie. Now this, of course, we have a ship landing, but it just shows you how it's landing in such a dramatic, you know, it's coming out of the smoke, this black evil looking ship.
It's a big entrance.
And you see everybody people in front of it. So you kind of
connect. It comes out like a vampire bat. Yeah. Like, you know, right away that nobody good is coming out of that thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so Kylo Ren's ship, but we also get Kylo Ren's theme, which is another important thing that they were, you know, John Williams, I think, was talking at some point about, like, he wanted to be, again, same with a lot of this stuff, he wanted to be evocative of, like, the Imperial March, but without just kind of ripping it off or being, you know, he wanted to kind of have an evolution of that. And so it borrows a little bit of, you know, sonically a little bit of that, but also then is its own thing. And
yeah,
kind of reminds me of like monster movie music a little bit.
It's very different from the Imperial March in some really cool ways. I'm a huge John Williams soundtrack guy. And the thing about it is that it's not nearly as it's dissonant in a way. It's not chromatic in a way that the Imperial March is. And of course, the Imperial March is sort of a more of a proper formal sound. And this is more like monster movie sound. And I think that says a lot about the character. I think you're absolutely right that it's a totally different kind of theme song. It's related, definitely musically, which is John Williams is a master at that. In the same way that he like inverted the Imperial March into Anakin and Padme's love theme, you know, like their love theme is actually the Imperial March, but like
reversed,
maneuvered in a way that's it's using a lot of the same melodic, you know, movement. But so I think it's great. I think he nailed it with Kylo Ren. It's like instantly like gripping and
Do you like the move? Do you like the you guys do music in your videos? Do you how do you feel about the music in general? The whole all the Disney movies, do you feel like it's
up to par?
Holds up the standard?
I think Disney in general.
The Star Wars music.
Star Wars.
I love Disney music going back all the way back.
Yeah.
No, I think
very controversial.
Frozen,
What's your take on Jose Carioca?
Thumbs up. Thumbs way up. I mean, the universe is so held together by John Williams' strong foundation. There's like almost you almost can't fail. You know, anytime a new composer is brought in, they have a strict they have to have a strict adherence to the sort of rules that he's laid down musically, and then they have some room to explore in the same way that a director coming in for Rogue One is given some freedom to bring their own style and tone to it in a way that might be a little bit different for Star Wars. You know, the composer can do the same thing, but with the main storyline, the saga storyline, I think it can only be Williams. He's going to finish it out, unless there are three more films, I guess, beyond that. But
well, in theory, they're going to keep going forever. I mean,
yeah.
For our sakes, we hope that they keep going forever. But
I think he's done a phenomenal. I mean, I just love what he does. I think he's just one of the greatest.
With this, there was that because I think he had the guest conductor for a lot of it, which was Dudamel, who. It seemed almost like he was getting ready to pass the torch, and then they kind of backed up off of that, and they're like, no, John Williams is doing everything still. Nobody worry. You're like, Gustavo who? No.
Do you think this is something where the other guy's really doing it, and John Williams is supervising?
Right. Like Peter Mayhew.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, everybody's got ghostwriters, too. Yeah. Every composer has people working under them that take the reins. And
like cartoonist studios.
Right.
Yeah.
This... shot-wise, too, this is it's really funny how when I first saw this movie, I took this entrance as like, this guy is legit. This guy's a huge threat. But and I don't know if it's intentional or not, but what's really great about this is looking back, knowing what we know about Kylo now, is that he's a huge, conflicted man-child. Mm-hmm. That this scene takes on new context, that he's actually like, it's almost like he's overcompensating, and they show how they cut wide. You can see how big that ship actually is compared to everything else. It's like bigger than the landing zone.
Yeah.
And then he gets out with two dudes. It's like that ship could have carried all those troops, but it's just him. It's like a dude rolling up in like a Ford F-150 with like truck nuts on it to say like, yo, I'm the biggest, you know, Big Johnson truck style, you know,
Especially since he's beating someone that he knew, like clearly knew him as a kid. So he really wants to show that he's a big boy now.
Yeah, and Max is so not fazed by it. He's like, I don't forget where you come from.
I saw you pee your pants many times.
Just now.
I gave you some sweatpants to wear.
So, Pete, we mentioned it yesterday, but is this the minute in Star Wars where Darth Vader makes his famous entrance?
No. Aww, no, I don't believe so.
Forget it.
I can double check, but I don't. I checked that, and I think it doesn't quite line up. There's some similar stuff going on, but there's not that big kind of blow through the door entrance.
Right. Yeah.
There's a really beautiful moment that happens that I love editorially. So there are a lot of obviously tricks that editors are using to push things along. So we have that moment with Finn that the previous minute that we did yesterday where Finn hits, you know, he goes into this war zone. He's spaced out and he's like stumbling around. And then we cut to a shot of Poe staring and he's like about to take a shot. And for a minute, for just a brief moment, you think that maybe he noticed Finn.
Right.
You know, but then you realize that he's just looking at this giant thing coming into the, you know, so that's a beautiful editorial trick that really it's moving things along, but it's also layering all of our characters' emotional states together in a way that's really fascinating to me. And this film is chock full of moments like that.
Yeah. Every single time I watch this clip, I always think that Poe is reacting to Finn.
It's amazing.
He senses something in him.
And he's like, this guy's different. No, there's just a giant monster truck. It's like Bigfoot's coming down from the sky.
But the idea that somebody would say, wait, what is that stormtrooper doing? Is like, I just saw that guy like freak out and run around this thing that I'm like looking at him now and I don't want to shoot him.
His face is all bloody.
Yeah, they do a lot of it's not really deception, but it's like that kind of, you know, these little false kind of hints that, because remember before we had seen this movie, before we knew what was up, there was this kind of push that it was like, oh no, like and Finn is the new Jedi, the Force Awakens, and they showed him holding the lightsaber, and it was like they're handing off to him, and it's like a whole thing, and then you know. That pays off later in the movie really well because you're expecting that he's supposed to be this new hero and he's the first one that we kind of follow. And so when you have that, when you have Poe kind of looking at him, like, oh, is he looking at him? Is he noticing that he's the new Jedi?
Does he feel his power?
He's just watching, right. Yeah, the monster truck driving up behind him. But
Finn doesn't seem to have any direct correlation to someone in Star Wars. I mean, there's no, it's not like a one-to-one.
He's a little bit Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit Luke?
I think so.
Yeah, in and over his head, kind of like fresh. He does have like...
He's Luke's naivete.
Right. He is innocent in a way that's like, you know, small.
Yeah.
He lacks the big picture.
Yeah.
Right.
That's sort of what he finds that in The Last Jedi. Right. But he's he's got that naivety. Yeah.
It's funny because yesterday I said that Poe was the hero that Luke would have wanted to have been.
Right.
But Finn is probably what he would have wound up being if he had joined the Academy. He would have wound up just being some grunt guy.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
killing
right.
people and stuff.
Right.
He wouldn't have had his big chance to come off the bench.
Have they ever done an alternate reality storyline where you kind of follow Luke if
he waited a year?
Biggs was like, come on with me, and then he'd skip town with Biggs before even the
Or even just if he just stuck around for one more season to help out Ben. Yeah,
to help
and then
the
just
farm.
Go, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Death Star would not have been destroyed.
Right.
You know, no doubt.
Now, would they have? Yeah, there's so many things. It's like, where do you branch it off? Because then he could have a whole thing where they don't even go. Like the stormtroopers don't even go looking for the droids, and then Luke just ends up being inheriting the farm, and he's like an unhappy kind of middle-aged farmer later in life.
Although I'm sure Luke actually in the long run he probably would have liked that because clearly in The Last Jedi he wants a miserable recluse. So
There could be a shop where he's just an old farmer and he like goes for a rake and the rake just like moves into his hand.
Ah,
those dirt rakes.
Yeah. Yeah. with the metal.
Right. Like that. Yeah. He's just giving people goosebumps
Classic
all the time. Like, why are you
rakes.
Raking dirt? Ugh, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Oh, I thought you were going for a Sideshow Bob kind of
stepping on the rake over and over.
Oh, yeah, that too. The old
hoe
gag.
You know how some people can't, like when you rake.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like the chalkboard thing. Yeah. It just freaks people out.
Oh, yeah, rake on cement.
Yeah. That we did. I don't know if that's too much of a hard left, but we did that. We did a Halloween podcast where we repurposed some of the scary stories to tell in the dark, classics, and one of them was like the couple that stops at a nice farm to weather the storm, and like the nice couple that gives them a place to room have been dead for 10 years, and we did that, but we repurposed it as if it was Aunt Varu and Ben. But it was like a couple stopped by this nice little moisture farmer's house, and they left some money in the morning, and then they went to Mos Eisley, and they're like, that farm burnt down 10 years ago.
Dolores family.
How can people hear that? Because it's still
up on our podcast special. We did Kylo Ren actually told that story. We had different. We had Creepio told one, and it was.
So check that out.
Yeah,
this is also the moment that we finally see Kylo Ren's mask. In action, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
I remember being really instantly impressed by that, and being intrigued by what this character was going to be about, and the sound of his voice also from a post production perspective, the sound of his voice is just ridiculous.
Did we never even heard that leading up into the end of the marketing for this movie? Did we?
No,
he never spoke in the
trailer.
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think they kept that.
Yeah,
locked down.
This was the first time we ever heard his voice.
Yeah,
I remember,
what an impact, you know.
And that apparently, from what I was watching, some of the behind the scenes, bonus features and all that stuff. And there's that was what took them the longest to get to nail, because they knew kind of where they wanted to go with it, but like every design that came through, JJ would be like, not quite, almost, And later we'll see some of those kind of like how the original designs for Count Dooku. Got scrapped, and then once like Christopher Lee got cast, and you're like, all right, throw out everything you got because we got Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
So
it's gotta be tailored
they reused those and turned them into Ventress and somebody else, General Grievous or something. Huh. So they reused those designs eventually for other characters. So
maybe
Kit Fisto. That's what it was.
Kit Fisto.
It totally was. It was Kit Fisto.
Really?
Yeah.
Kit Fisto.
That is such a He-Man name. I mean, I think there is a guy named
Fisto.
Kit Fisto went down so hard, so fast.
Oh, jeez.
I maintain that it was like a red badge of courage kind of a thing, where he was just like, oh, I'm hit. And then like, he had waited until everybody left, and then he snuck out.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm Dave Fisto. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's racist. You thought I was Kit Fisto?
Yeah. Come on, guy.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
His voice, I think, shares a lot in common with his lightsaber in that it's like super rough around the edges, homemade feel. Like there's a lot of weird feedback and malfunctioning.
His outfit
happening.
Is literally rough around the edges.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see like parts bristling off of his, you know, coat.
He didn't have a good hemming YouTube tutorial.
No, right.
Yeah, he's got a
he needs those tailor bots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did do a lot of favors for cosplayers though, because they could take it a little easier on the authenticity of their garb.
Yeah, totally. A lot less plastic pieces to hang on yourself.
They should totally throw in, like in episode 9 or down the road or whatever, they totally need to make a character whose outfit just is entirely composed of like paper bags.
Oh yeah.
So that for like entry level cosplay people to be like, look, I did it. Like, yeah, you know,
you could
like,
be someone too. This is cardboard box man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or like jeans and a black t-shirt.
Yeah, totally.
As long as his name is Bagano.
Bagano, yeah. It's like Board Boxo or something like
Wait,
that.
Wait, who was actually named Bagano?
Sleaze Bagano.
Sleaze Bagano.
Yeah. The Death Sticks.
He was just like a regular dude, but had antennas. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sleaze Bagano. I like how they retconned it to be like, no, that's his nickname. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
George Lucas, he gave him a real name, and his real name dictated his whole life. What, Sleaze Bagano going to be a doctor?
Yeah.
No, he's selling death sticks.
Dr. Sleaze Bagano.
That's it. Hey, listen, the Sleaze Baganos are always death stick salesmen, and they're going to be death stick salesmen.
In our language, it's a very beautiful name.
he's like, wait, so George, like, what are you going for with Sleaze Bagano? Like, what kind of character is he? And George was like, are you serious? You're asking? Yeah.
He's the hero's journey.
He's a priest. Get out of here.
Once again, I cannot believe we are talking about
this. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
The shadow of the prequels just hangs too heavy over everything.
Yeah.
It's the real Phantom Menace.
And also, it's more fun to make fun of silly things than it is to say, wow, that's a cool shot. You know,
yeah. I mean, but if it wasn't for the prequels, we wouldn't even be sitting here right now.
Yeah, it's just, if it wasn't for the...
Man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe in another...
You think you'd still be sitting here?
Oh, well, that's another Luke question, you know.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows the forking branches of reality.
I may be sitting here, but just like because I was cleaning the office and taking a break, you know. Just taking a load off for 10,
right.
You know.
Well, so the first thing that Kylo says, interestingly, I just want to point out, in a lot of those behind-the-scenes things, like from early on, you'll see... A couple of people were calling him Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren.
And then they kind of stopped referring to him by name. So like nobody, like in the behind the scenes stuff, a lot of people, nobody really says Kylo Ren. You hear people say like, yeah, Kylo Ren. And then multiple people say it.
Wow.
And then they don't say Kylo Ren really ever that I noticed.
Huh.
Unless it's stuff like later, like commentary after the fact.
Yeah.
So I think maybe when they originally conceived of it, they were like Kylo Ren. And somebody was like,
It just sounds like he's a living bag of cocaine. Like
he's 1,000 wrens.
Right.
in a suit. He's 1,000 little birds in a big black suit.
But it's also, even just spelling-wise, like you see a K1. Like, it's like Kyle, you know? That's kind of how our brains are at least That's how my brain took it. There was no question for me that it was always Kylo Ren, you know?
And I guess other people have pointed out that his name, Kylo Ren, is a mix of Skywalker and Solo. It's like the end of Solo
Sky
and Low. Kai.
Yeah. Hmm. But then if the behind the scenes, at what stage do you believe they started calling him Kylo?
Because they call him that in the movie. They call him Kylo. They call him by name in the movie.
Yeah. Well, it would be interesting. That presumably is all ADR, so it could have been late in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, things that we'll dig into eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually, all this stuff will come to, you know, for the 20th anniversary Blu-ray or whatever the format is, you know, digital brain download. There'll be bonus features. Like, we were going to call him Kilo.
They do. So his first words are just, look how old you've become.
Right? Yeah.
He's talking to the audience. That's that whole nostalgia.
Right.
Look how old you've become.
Well, that's it. Like, so
he's still there paying for his fantasies.
Put it past Abrams.
Yeah.
Your tastes haven't changed since you were 8 years old.
Is that a meta thing? That's what we're so this is what we're talking about. There's a lot of meta kind of moments that is referring to not only what's going on in the movie, but what's going on like about the movie. Like what, like that first, you know, this will begin to make things right is the first line that we hear in the movie, which is like, okay, are they actively apologizing for the state that Star Wars was put into? Or and so is this another thing? Is he addressing the kind of
The only reason I would say that he's not, because that's an aggressive way to come out of the gate, especially But when this movie first came out, there was none of the controversy that exists now. So there would be no reason for the director to just like, look at your old ass sitting in that chair, still buying
but
tickets
then,
for movies.
Toys.
But then in that trailer, he clearly was like, when you know, Harrison Ford comes barreling through the thing and he's like, we're home.
Right.
He's clearly saying, we're getting back to what you think is Star Wars.
But that was warmer... More nostalgic, not this. Like, look how old you become. I just don't see JJ being that aggressive to the audience.
I think he's not addressing necessarily the audience directly. Maybe Lor San Tekka represents like the EU, like the novels and stuff like that, because he's got this history that he's got these weird adventures from the past, and he knows all this stuff that he comes from Star Wars, you know, in continuity Star Wars history. And then Kylo Ren just comes out and is just like, you're old and useless now.
And then kills him.
You're no longer canon. So, get out of my sight.
Exactly.
What if it's not even meta? What if, you know, Max von Sydow didn't know the script and that's like, JJ was like, dude, just hit Max hard.
Improvise.
Roll with it. Roll with it.
Remember when you were Ming the Merciless?
Oh, man, that was great. So, also, when this first came out, we didn't know what he looked like. Because none of the we knew it was Adam Driver, but we didn't know if his face was hideously scarred from being in a lava battle or whatever. Yeah. So, I remember seeing this going like, what? So this guy also, this was the first time I was like, boy, that's a really close copy to Vader. Yeah. They saved it by having him be like inspired by Vader.
Yeah, he turned out to be just a total poser. Like, there's nothing wrong with him. Yeah, he's... I did a full 180 on Adam Driver too. I'll be the first to admit I didn't give him a fair shot just because of his association with like the show Girls, which I just thought was, you know, I've lived in New York long enough to I don't want to see a show about gentrification.
Right.
Like,
right.
In a
you can't blame him for that.
Right. Right. And I was just like, he was part of it in my head. Like that show sucks. He sucks. This Star Wars is going to suck because of that. You know, and I love any, I'll watch things just because he's in it. Like he's fantastic in Black Klansman. You know, it's just, and then I've looked into his history. I'm like, wow, he was a Marine, and he started a theater program for soldiers that wanted to be actors. I'm like, this guy is legit. I think he's great. So and Kylo Ren is one of my favorite Star Wars characters.
I think he's probably one of the best characters in the new films for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, because he's got that, and I think you brought. I'm going to bring it back to the prequels, but you brought this up a couple of times while we were talking about Anakin's turn and that how. He's doing those same kind of notes better in this. That kind of struggle with the two sides of the Force and the kind of the way that he, you know, he shows that conflict bodily and emotionally and he seems more tortured by it, whereas Anakin was just kind of whiny about it.
Yeah, Anakin's turn just was it happened sort of all of a sudden. It didn't really feel earned. He was just angry all of a sudden.
Right.
He was like, wow, why are you so... Oh, sand people. Right.
No,
right.
He was mad because for like 20 years, he was like, let's go back and get my mom. And the Jedi were like, no, you can't do that because of some rule.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? We're totally fine
some,
with what's
some
going
weird
on.
The no mom's rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though you're like possibly one of the most dangerous people in the cosmos. And we know that. You just can't go back to your mom. Like, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
Oh, we could have brought your mom here. You just never asked. Yeah,
exactly.
We could have sent a car to go get her. Sure.
She was actually.
You wanted your mother here. Yeah. Oh, I misunderstood the situation.
I would have made that part of the deal. Like that's. Yeah. She's still owned by that guy. There's nothing we can do. The paperwork all checks out.
Can't believe in the 10 years or whatever that he was a Jedi. He was never on a solo mission. It was just like, I'm just gonna swing by. And just
Dude, I've done
in.
That on like jobs I've been on. I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna swing by my house and eat a burrito real quick on the clock.
No,
you
that's
know,
that's what I'm saying. The Jedi were like, no, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we don't need that right now.
Yeah.
They should have told, it would have been great if they told him that she was dead this whole time. And then he found out that she was actually alive.
That would have been awesome. That would have been amazing.
That would have been really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause they were lying to him and that would have given him some fuel anyway,
yeah.
But back it up.
Sorry.
Episode 7. We're going to keep
That's
doing
too
this.
Easy.
Yeah,
well, it's got, you know why it's
fish
so
there
right.
in the barrel. We can't help it.
You know, that's why it's so hard to stay away from it though, because these films were sort of direct answers to the prequels. Like
right.
They're like, we want to get back on this track, not the track that those. So that was they were working against the prequels in a lot of ways with these, I think. So it's hard not to make those comparisons. Like,
yeah,
I almost feel like Kylo Ren's journey was a lesson in like Skywalker's journey was like a lesson in what not to do. They just kind of looked at that and like, let's just fix what was wrong.
Oh,
with
well,
this journey.
We don't know what's going to happen yet.
No.
That's true. Yeah.
Kylo is still a mystery.
He's still he's a wild card.
Well, even though Lor San Tekka represents the old expanded universe stuff, I like that he instantly
his name is Lore too.
Lore,
yeah.
San meaning without, and Tekka meaning Tech Wars.
Tech Wars. Is that the William Shatner series?
Yeah. I love that he just that they know each other off the bat, and then he just you know it's that again if they're hitting similar notes that we get in the beginning, you know, it'll come. Minutes, a couple minutes down the road from this, in the original Star Wars, but how Princess Leia knows Obi-Wan and is like, oh, you know, years ago you served my father in the Clone Wars, and it hints at this greater universe behind what we're actually seeing. And so this, the fact that they, that he's like, oh, look how old you've become, and they you know reference stuff that we hadn't seen yet, that it kind of allows for some mystery and allows for some, you know, gives it a feeling of a bigger scope.
Yeah.
So you know what's happened, though, just in with pop culture in general, is that when I originally watched Star Wars and Leia was like, you served my father in the Clone Wars, it hinted at a bigger universe. Mm-hmm. Now, when he's like, look how old you become, it's like, is there some comic book or something that I forgot to read? Am I missing something?
Right.
Like, I don't know if I have the full story now.
I need all the dots connected.
Yeah.
He's only 40, Lor San Tekka. So that's why
it's a hard 40.
Yeah, well, attached to that desert sun.
Right, He didn't put any sunscreen on at any point. That's why you always wear a hat when you work outside.
Well, that's all I got. Anyone else have any comments?
No, that's
minute 7. Lucky 7.
Strong 7.
Let me just say that I'm not not fully confident in Lor San Tekka's kind of repartee skills.
Something far worse
has happened to you, and he's like, "What? Come on,
yeah,
like
it's
then
a
you
little,
can do better than that." That's not
well,
clever at all.
You yourself are the one who's old.
I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah, exactly. With the accent, I know you are, but what am I?
It was very Dracula.
Yeah, I don't know why. He never played Dracula, did he? He played all kinds of other stuff. I would like to see
an exorcist.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He was a Ming.
Yeah.
That's his best. All right, then. So I guess that'll wrap up minute 7. And hey, guess what? We're all on Twitter. You can follow the show at just Star Wars Minute. And you can also follow Pete and I individually, A Rob Twit and
Pete the Retailer. I'll let you figure out which one is which.
You guys want to plug your Twitters?
Yeah, we're at Arlnauts, ArlNauts.
All right. So everyone go do that on the internet, and we will be back tomorrow with another brand new Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars.